Now, Corey, I need you to put that microphone very close to your mouth.
I will do.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
That's just fine down there. Okay, here we go. We're going to have a little interview here. I hope I'm not... am I in your way? Can you see? You sure? Even if I lean forward? Okay, good. Because I don't want you to see me. You need to see her. She's the special guest this morning. And we're going to kind of do an interview to try and draw out so we don't miss anything of this story this morning. But I'm going to do a bit of an interview with Corrie so that you can get to find out a little bit about her life and find out really what she's been doing in a place called Mongolia. And the first question I have, because I've known Corrie for 10 years, and some of these questions I didn't really actually know the answers to. But I've, mainly it's through our connection in Mongolia. And Corrie's a whole lot of fun as well, as doing great works out in Mongolia. Just tell us a little bit about growing up, your family, your country, and then maybe your career, what you did for a living.
I grew up in a little town in Holland. And I grew up in a Christian family, very strict. I needed to go 2 times on a Sunday to church. And I didn't really know Jesus. I was afraid for God because he was the judge. So if I did something wrong, I thought, ooh, he will be very angry on me. If it was thunder, you know, I thought, oh, that is the voice of God. He's very angry on me. So that was when I was a child, my religion. And when I grew up, I was learning for a kindergarten teacher. And when I was ready, I went to Rotterdam. And there I met more evangelical Christians. And one time I heard, you have to follow Jesus. And I really had already a hunger before already in my heart to know him, but I didn't know how to do that. And because I thought, oh, how can I come to the Lord? And I prayed and prayed for it, but nothing changed. So then they said, you can follow Jesus. And I thought, oh yes, that I really want to do. And I prayed and I decided to follow Jesus. But that was one step. But I couldn't follow Jesus. How to follow Jesus if you don't know him? So that was a struggle. But every time I learned more, and at last that I found out I need to give my life to Jesus, then he will learn me how I can follow him. And so it was a process to come to him.
How old were you when that process really began?
I was already 30, I think.
So you were teaching, and you were a teacher in school, and you moved to teach, and then you found really a real relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. I was teaching the children in school, and I always loved to tell the children, always to tell them about Jesus, and I always was sorry for them. I thought, oh, what will happen with them if they grow older, you know, if they don't know Jesus? And yeah, that was also a desire of my heart to tell them about it. And that was really funny because little children, they came to my school and we were praying and they said, what are we doing? And because most of them, they didn't know. And I said, we talk with Jesus, he is listening to us. And they said, oh, and they believed it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's a big example for us,
yeah.
How children believe.
Yeah, it's good. So how on earth did you end up going to Mongolia?
Yeah.
It's an unusual place. And how old were you when you first went?
59, I think. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
So an adventurer, I would say.
Yes. I always loved to travel. So that was one thing. The other thing, I always wanted to go to different countries to also to tell the gospel or to help missionaries. So I took many times, some months unpaid leave from my school, and then I went to another country and I could help an organization. And so I came also in Mongolia, because I was reading an advertisement. People, they were asking people for Mongolia. I had no idea where was Mongolia. So I looked first on the map, where is Mongolia? Oh, it's between Russia and China. So I called and I said, I think I can do that. So I came like that to Mongolia. I always prayed, Lord, please show me. If it's not good, then I can't go, then my school will not give me permission. And everything went always very smoothly, so that I knew it's good.
So at an age where a lot of people are thinking of retiring to play golf, to have new hobbies, maybe go sailing for a year around the world, you decide to start working with children. What motivated you to begin something?
Yeah, when I was in Mongolia, I saw many children on the streets. And of course, you want to help them. So I give them food. And if I was there some months, I had a special day on a special place, I gave them food. And I bought all children Bibles also, because that, for me, was always together, food and Jesus. Even I didn't know one word Mongolian. So
you couldn't speak any language?
No, I couldn't speak, just with my... Yeah.
It's very brave, do you not think, to go to a country and you can't even speak a language, but you want to help people to feed and to give what you know is.
Yeah, but one time I could buy a little book, and that was from the two sons, you know, one son who left, and it was only a little, almost no words under it, only pictures. And I knew, I think, 5 words in Mongolian. I knew the word for father. I knew the word for bread, for money, for son, and something I don't know anymore. So with these 5 words, I could tell the whole story. See, this is the son. He went away.
The prodigal son. The story where Jesus told about one son who left and decided to go away from the father. And
that story, yeah, that was a story that Jesus told to the people, that the son left his father. He gave all his money on the wrong things, but at last he came back to the father, and he was afraid to see the father. Because he thought, oh, I did so many wrong things. But the father saw him and he had his arms wide open and said, please come, you are my son and you will stay my son, as my son. So that was the first story I told to my children on the street in Mongolia. With 5 words.
Amazing. In making a transition from leaving Holland to and your career to... working in Mongolia, apart from language and, I must say, culture, because for those who don't know, Mongolia is a place of extreme things.
Yeah.
Describe.
Yeah, especially that time, that was in 90, almost 2000, that was, was a strange country. It was more Russian, because the Russians were there till 1990. After that, missionaries came, and so Christianity came, so the church is there very young. And it was all sheep, 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 sheep. If you came in my house, if you came in my apartment, you smelled sheep. If you had the money, it was sheep. When I came in Holland, they said, "Corrie, you smelling the sheep, my clothes." Yeah, that was really, and I absolutely don't like sheep. No, the meat. Sheep as an animal is nice, but the meat I don't like.
And what's the worst thing you've eaten?
The worst that I've eaten? I've eaten. Oh, yes, maybe I didn't eat really. I came one time in a gear that is a traditional tent, the Mongolian special, the nomadic people are living in. And there was a stove in the middle, and they opened, there was a big bowl on it, and they opened that bowl, and I was looking in it, and I thought, oh no, I only saw like blood, and I have no idea what I saw, but it looked terrible. And they said, "Corrie, this is nice." I said, "I can't." And my driver said, "This is nice." And I think that their brains, they're so soft, Corrie. And so I, little bit. But I saw kind of cookies, and they were very dry and very bad. But I was eating, so I had my mouth full, so they could see I was eating something. Yeah.
I know they cook the whole animal. They use
everything. They eat everything.
Everything. So from the hooves.
Oh, yes.
The hooves are melted down.
One time I came with by my girls. We have also a house for all the girls. And they had a little, plank, a wooden thing.
Yeah. A bench.
Yeah. And I was looking on it, and there was a head from a sheep, and that eyes were like looking at me. I said, "In the world, what are you doing with that?" They said, "Oh, Corrie, that is so nice." I said, "Oh, I can't imagine."
I think that from what I've heard from you, you have found the Mongolian people very warm and happy to have you stay in one of their gairs as you travel through the country. Is that right?
If you know them, then they are very nice and very hospitality. They are always inviting you, and they have all kinds of things they make prepare for you. Even they are very poor, they will give you everything instead of that they eat by themselves. But if you don't know them, if I say hello to my neighbors, nobody says anything. If you are on the street, and nobody is saying anything. And my worker said, "Corrie, you are saying goodbye to the people. Why?" I said, "Yeah, but they are my neighbors." "Oh, we don't do that." But I said, "I do." And now they are greeting me too. But it took a long time. In a shop close to my house, there are little shops. So they know me now. So I always, when I come, I say, "Sembeno," that is hello. And if you are leaving, you say also baita. And first they didn't say anything, but now some they are greeting. But they are very rude, really rude. If you are in a queue, nobody is in a queue. Nelly is my friend, and we went by train to China, because first I always traveled over China, and then I went by train to Mongolia. And she said, "Corrie, this is terrible." Because the train came and everybody was running, so I was also running, because I knew. And I lost them totally. They were totally back. They said, "We didn't know, we couldn't go in." I said, "No, you have to fight." Really to fight. If I always, in the first years, I always went by just normal buses. If the bus came, you have to fight to come in. No, they are very rude. But on the other side, they are kind and they are hospitable.
When I was visiting you, the driving was extraordinary. No, there is no car that doesn't have a dent or it's all beaten up. But there is also, even though there are lines to divide the travel, so one way and then the other, they still cross all the lines. And it is absolute chaos. You think Italy is bad, Mongolia,
that's Mongolia
is the worst.
Yeah. It's funny to drive because you don't need to have rules. If I come in Holland, I drive really bad. Then I think, oh, I just can cross. I know that car has to go first, but I can just cross before. But then they do. Yes, I'm in Holland. Yes, if you have two lines, normally they can drive two cars in our countries, but there are at least four or five, because they go on the sides and they, oh yeah, it's chaos. So, but I love to drive, and if I'm coming back, I always say, oh, thank you, Lord, that was a big sport. I'm here again without any accident.
She's a racing driver at heart, really. It's true. And the temperatures, let's talk about the temperatures, because I have experienced temperatures in Mongolia that I thought were not possible.
Yeah, it can be very cold, can be minus 40 degrees. Yeah, but it is dry, it's dry. I don't mind if you have good clothes on. I don't like that it's cold here, and in Holland also, like, oh, you...
Well, can I say I minded? When I visited, I minded. And what Corrie did, she said, come outside, and it was minus 35. And you go outside and you can imagine your skin. You feel it shrinking. And she said, come, I want to show you something. And you throw water.
Yeah.
Hot water.
Yeah,
in
if
the
you
air.
Throw hot water in the air, it's like,
It's like a firework.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's like shoo, and then it disappears.
No
water
anymore.
And
yeah.
Ice and disappears. And okay, it was exciting.
That's nice, eh?
But I prefer to be inside. I much prefer to be in the warm. I am not called to Mongolia. Okay, talking about the children, moving on really, because that's the heart of
the
everything,
call.
Everything you are, and everything that you do. And I know this is quite a difficult subject to talk about, but I think it's really important, because I think unless you understand the difficulties the children are in, what has happened to the children, we don't understand how amazing the transformation, the change is. So could you describe a little bit of what has happened to some of the children that you are helping?
Yes, what I was telling first, I was first helping on the street, and that didn't work really. So we made an organization in Holland, and we got money, and then we could really, we get sponsors, and so we really could give structural help. It was never my idea to start something in Mongolia. I thought I will help what is there already, but that time there was not that much. Okay, so I saw these children on the street, and I thought this they have a terrible life. They were very dirty. They had no food, no nothing. And in winter time, if it is minus 30, minus 40, these children will be frozen. So there is under the floors, there are the pipes from the hot water, and they are going under the streets,
into the pipes, to keep warm
by the pipes, and there's kind of tunnels under the streets, and it's terrible place there, terrible. There are rats, there are all kind of animals. If children telling about it. So that's really bad. That is where they have to survive. And yeah, many of our children were on the street. And how do they come on the street? So sometimes because they have no parents. Sometimes they have a parent, but then they are very, very cruel, like they have a stepfather. And we have many children who came on the street because of that, because they were really abused. They are sexually abused, but also physical. And many of our children also have big scars because of what happened with them. Yeah, one time we got a call out of hospital, and they said, please, can you take this girl? Because she was many times in the hospital, and again, she has broken arm and everywhere wounds, terrible places, because her mother always was beating her so terrible. Yeah, we cannot understand it, but it happened. And every time she went back to her mother, but then they said, no, she can't, because she had again many broken bones. So we took her, and she is now with us, and yeah, she is a happy girl.
There is a problem with alcohol, I think.
That is mostly the most biggest problem, alcohol. And many people are alcoholic. And if a Mongolian is an alcoholic person, he becomes very cruel. He's beating, if it is a man, beating wife and children. And therefore, children run away and come on the streets. That's a big, big problem, yeah.
Okay.
But our work is not to take just children, to give them a safe place. That's one part of our work. But the most important part is that these children will know Jesus. Because if they really become Christians, if they really know Jesus, then there is a future for them. Because there is so much temptation if they become older. But if they really know Jesus, then even all our children can study if they want, if they can do it. If they can go to university, they can go to university. But if they know Jesus, their life is totally different. Totally different.
Well, he heals their hearts because nobody else can heal a broken heart.
Exactly, because they all have broken hearts. All have broken hearts. They all have a hole inside of them, and that needs to be healed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want that I will tell some stories from
in a moment? In a moment. She's interviewing me now, and I knew it would happen because that's Corrie.
That's me. Yeah.
But I just wanted to paint a picture, because you receive these children. But you also provide a family unit. So you provide housing, food, education. But they also have a small family unit. You try and bring love in to their lives that way.
Yeah, that was my goal from the beginning. Not to make a big house, because then you get an orphanage. So these children don't know what's family life. So if they want to start a family later, they don't know. So therefore, I always said I need to have just small houses. So our first house was in 2001. It was just a normal apartment, just between all other families. And we had 7 children there. That was our start. Now we have many more of these houses, but mostly 8 children. One house has 12 children. And there are 2 mothers, Mongolian mothers, who are taking care for them. And it's just like a normal family between all the other families. And I think that's very important that they see what is family life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's the personal care for each life. And they learn how to relate as brothers and sisters,
yes,
too.
Yes.
It's very important.
Yes. Even, you know, Hongro, huh? And
yeah,
she still is, yeah, she was here.
Hongara was here How many years ago was she here?
So 10? A long time ago, I think.
Long time ago. She was rescued and brought in a terrible state to you.
Yes. And she was half a year here with you. But she is working now for us. She was studying for lawyer.
She was a lawyer, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she did a master also. She's a very smart girl, but she's married and she has 2 children. But she is working for us as a manager. But she still calls all our children her sisters and brothers. When she married, she invited them all because they're her sisters and brothers.
So her family has become this new family, really.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. As you were just suggesting then, I think it would be good for us to hear some of the stories that you have of the children. Because that actually speaks a lot more than the words that we can use of seeing some photographs and hearing their journey. So, Corrie, over to you. You want to tell stories about 3 or 4 of your children.
Yeah. I can tell from all our children the story, but we can't do that because otherwise you have to sleep here. So you did said take 3 children. So we took some children to tell the story. And these 3 children, this is a picture when they were in the office from Children Protection Center. And they called us and they said, please, can you take these children? Because a woman found them on the street and she dressed the oldest. It's a girl. It looks like a boy, but it's a girl. And the youngest was very dirty also, yeah. And they found them many times on the street and many times they brought them back to the family. And then Children Protection Center, they said, we can't do that. We have to see what's wrong. They knew, of course, already, but they wanted to see very well. But they said, please, can you take these children? And happily, we could take them. So we came in the office. I made that picture there. And these children, these were 3 sisters, they thought that they needed to go back to their family, and immediately they start crying and crying and crying. I said, no, 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 you don't need to go to your family. You go with me, and I have a beautiful house for you. And from the authorities, they went to the place, and it was terrible. The stepfather, who was really, really beating them very much. Mother is always drunk. And they had a very dirty gear with no floor on it. They were sleeping on the, yeah, it was wet, wet, the ground. It was, they said it was really terrible. So they asked us, please keep them if you want it. And of course we wanted it. And they were talking and talking and talking in the car. Yeah, but there was, yeah, a little bit strange, of course, for these children also, for this special for these children. But on one side they were excited and on one side they were scared. But when they came to us, they were very scared. Always that oldest girl also, she told Corrie, I was always afraid because I thought one day I will come back on the street and I will be the same as my parents. Or I will be drunk and, yeah, the same. And the second girl said, first one. she really was very interesting in the gospel. She was always listening so well if he talked about it. In church also, you could see on her eyes, she was drinking it. And we asked her now, not so long time ago, what did you change? Because she's such a sweet girl, so nice, and always happy and helping girl. And she said, because I know Jesus. and I'm not scared anymore. And she said, Psalm 91, they were talking in their house, in that home where the children are, about this. And she said, that helped me so lot, so much, because I know that the Lord is my protector. He protects me. I don't need to be afraid anymore. And my heart is full of joy now. I'm not afraid. I love Jesus. Yeah, and the second girl said, I was always a girl with two faces. Because we heard that she had very bad friends. She could be outside the house very naughty. She said, but now I know Jesus and now I have only one face. Yeah, but you see, if you see the eyes from the first picture, you can't see it very well, but if you see it very close, then you see the big difference.
Yeah.
They were very scared, and this is our children have happy eyes. Yeah.
Wonderful. Those faces, the joy, the happiness, they look like ordinary children.
They are. They are.
It's wonderful.
Yes, and they said also, now we are not afraid for the future anymore, because we know we are safe with Jesus. Yeah. Yeah.
And the next one?
It's Amraya. Some people know him from last year, the team. Yeah, he's a boy. He was with his mother on the streets, and his family didn't want them because the mother was on the streets very bad, always drunk. So his grandmother, she didn't want anything with her daughter anymore, and also not with her grandchild. But the mother died. That happened many times early. If they live on the streets, it's a terrible life, so mostly they die early. So his mother died, so he had nobody, and he came by his grandmother, and she didn't want him. So we could take him, and he came to us. And so, not so long time ago, he really wanted to see his grandmother. So we went with him to her, but she didn't want, and the whole family didn't want to receive him. And he was so sad, of course. But he said, I will have a good future. And when we asked him, do you know Jesus? Do you really, did he change you? He said, he changed me so much. Because this boy was wetting his bed every night. Even he is 13 years old.
Wetting his bed.
Wetting his bed. That's the good.
That's right, it's good, yeah. Just in case they didn't.
Yes, and yeah, he was ashamed about it, of course. And the teachers didn't like it. Yeah, it was very smelling. But I said, this boy has something, because you don't do that for joy. So I talked with him, and I said, we were talking, and he said, Corrie, if I do that, I always have very bad dreams. And he told his dreams, and that was really demonic. Really demonic. And there were really demons in his dreams. And I said, this is not good, Amra. We will pray for that. And we prayed together. And later I asked him. He said, no, he didn't have any dreams anymore. And first, sometimes he was wetting his bed, but now never anymore. And he said, now my heart is so full of joy, because I know Jesus. And he said, sometimes I do bad things, but I don't like that, because then I make Jesus sad, and I don't want to make Jesus sad, because he loves me and I love him. And he is really changed. Yeah. Yeah, he's really changed. He's a lovely boy. Yeah.
Is there another story? One more?
Yeah, oh, Ogna, hey, you get that picture. Yeah, Ona came with us when she was already a teenager, and she had a necklace from a shaman, because in her family always there was a shaman. And then a shaman that is, more than Buddhist, very demonic. If you are a shaman, they are asking also demons to come. So it's, very, very bad. And with many demons. And she said, the shaman told me I need to become a shaman. And if I don't want it, I will die, or somebody will die. And that's why mostly they become shaman, because they are afraid that they will die. So she came to us, and we had camp also after she came. And we talked with her about Jesus, and she heard the gospel. And she was very interesting. But when we talked with her and prayed with her, you could see there was a big battle inside of her. On one side Jesus, and on one side the devil. They were both fighting on her. And she said, I can't put my necklace yet off. I said, okay, it will come. And she really, after a time, she really received Jesus. 2 years ago, she is baptized. And she said, I threw all my shaman things away, and I even don't think about it anymore. And she said, I was always so afraid for my future because of my little brother. She had a cousin, and she called him her brother, and they had a very bad youth. The mother of that little boy 2 times wanted to kill that little boy, and she saved that little boy. So she said, I was always worried, what will be with us, with me and with that boy? But she said, now the boy we took also, he's in one of our foster homes, and he's doing also well. So she said, I'm now not anymore afraid, but the most important thing is I'm not afraid anymore for my future, also not for my little brother, because Jesus is with us, and he protects us. He's my everything. Yeah, that's really... Yeah, encouraging.
Yeah, amazing stories. Yeah. If we, just a couple more questions really. If we look at the teaching, the central teaching of Jesus is forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins, our sins, so we can have a relationship with God as a father. But also to forgive others as we have been forgiven. And in these children's lives, they have been so rejected, and so badly hurt. Sometimes I think we've all faced people in situations where we might find it quite difficult to forgive. How do you help these children apply that teaching of Jesus, really?
Exactly. Of course, these children are so hurt in the past. So sometimes they want to hide it. They don't want to think about it anymore. But it's still inside. It can be also with us. You easily can hide something, but it doesn't make you free. So it doesn't make the children also free if they cannot forgive what happened with them, what people did to them. So we are always trying to talk about it, that it comes, they will tell about it, and that then we are praying, and mostly we are asking, let us pray about it, that you will forgive what they did to you. And if they really can forgive, and Jesus helps them to do that, then they become free, then they are different children. If we can forgive, even sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes children, I tell to the children, maybe you don't feel it. That you are still angry on them. But the Lord asks you to forgive. So forgive and pray. And say in your praying, I will forgive that person. And they do it. And of course, not always and not immediately. But if they do that, even if they do that just with their words and they pray about it, still they become free from it. Yeah, and later the feelings will come more. Yeah.
Someone once said that unforgiveness towards somebody is like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. And some of the teachings of Jesus, whilst all of them are designed to bring us and make us free, free as in our hearts, in our emotions, in our spirit, and also physically, I believe, with all of my heart. But unless we follow those teachings and apply them, we won't experience it. And it's such an important lesson when you see these changed lives. It's been a process, but each one will have had to forgive and be forgiven. And it's just amazing what Jesus, through you and through the people that are working with you, have done in so many of these children's lives. Now, not all of them have been a success.
No. That's also, of course, sad. I always say that. It's, of course, not 100% like that. There are also children who are, we have some older children who were years and years with us, and they run away, and they are living on the street. They are choosing the same way where their parents come from. And I was also teaching the children that sometimes, even they don't know it, if they don't know Jesus, they follow the same way as their ancestors did. And the Bible said also that you can have, the children can have the same, it goes on and goes on by generations, some sins. But only Jesus can break that. So I told the children also, you don't need to live later the same as your family did. You know Jesus. So we pray and he will break that chain from sins. And you get a new life. So your children will not do the same as what your parents did. And that's, we always talk about it and pray that. And I think that's, for all of us, that he can break the what's inside of us and make us new people.
That's wonderful. That's, you don't have to. And I love that when you said that. You don't have to repeat.
You don't have to repeat
the same sins, the same failures, the same awful things that you were brought up in.
Yes.
And
because sometimes also here you see
of course.
You see that people who were abused, they abuse their children again. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing how that works. But it's not necessary. It's not necessary. You can some people say, because they had that use. No, Jesus will break that. So if we know Jesus, we don't need it to do that again and break it. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
A new start, a new life. And that's what Jesus essentially came. He died for everyone, even in this country, not just Mongolia, all over the world, every country. He died for all our sins, and he rose again from the dead. And there is this choice, this offer of you can be free.
Yes.
You can receive forgiveness.
Yes.
And you can take a new start.
Yes.
From the moment you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life.
The choice of them.
And I've experienced that in my life, because otherwise I would have continued in what I was in.
Yeah, exactly.
And I would imagine there's a lot of people here today that could say, without Jesus, you would have carried on making the same mistakes, the same failures, the same problems, the same issues. Your relationships would have failed and all kinds of things would have been repeated. But Jesus is the only one who can has the power to break the things of the past and to give us a new start and a new life.
Yeah.
And he's the only one who can forgive sins.
The only one.
But he offers every single person on earth, when they're even in this interview situation, he is offering to people who haven't received him this morning.
Yes.
And I know that this is a final question, but it's a really important question to finish on. If there was somebody here who hasn't yet begun a relationship with Jesus and received forgiveness of sins, what would you say to them?
As soon as possible, make that choice. Yes. Because if you make that choice, you will see your life will be totally different. Because sometimes if we live without Jesus, we think we are happy. We don't need him. We have a good life, we have a job, we have money, we have, you know, especially in our countries. So we don't need him. But as soon as you, there is always something emptiness inside of us. And as soon as you receive Jesus, you will get a totally new life. And you will never, never, never be alone. That experience our children, but it's for us the same. That we, in every situation, that we are not alone. That he is with us and he is teaching us and helping us in, because everybody gets sadness in life, and yeah, there happen many things in everybody's life. If you have to go alone through it, that's totally different. If you have Jesus, you know, he is the creator from heaven and earth. He is the God who reigns, so he is the one who will help us. Yeah.
Well, Corrie, as ever, you have been wonderful to listen to, and it's wonderful to hear about what she considers to be the Lord's work through her life.
We can't do that.
No.
No,
but we thank God for your compassion and your willingness when others have retired to be refired and to have a vision beyond just yourself. How many children do you feel you have? She's never had natural children, but she's got lots of kids. How many children do you have?
More than 50.
And
it's not always easy, because I want to talk with each of them. And if you have 3 children, they are all different, eh? And they have always different, you have to treat them all different. But if you have more than 50, sometimes difficult how to treat them.
And when you see her with the children, she comes alive. She is absolutely full of love for these children. And all I can say is what we've heard today is a true story of both personal relevance, I would say, for each and every one of us here today, but also to have vision for people's lives. Because Jesus has a vision beyond all of our lives for us to help other people to be healed and to be made whole. And whatever we can do to help anyone, I believe it's been an inspiration for each one of us this morning. Lord, I want you to use me to actually help someone to come into freedom in every way, but the only way really is through Jesus.
Because never think I cannot do it. If I can do it, you always can do it. I never thought that I should do it. Never. But everybody can with Jesus. Everybody can.
That's wonderful. Why don't we give her a round of applause? Thank you so much. Well, I'm sure that's answered a lot of your questions, but I trust that you have found that a wonderful, inspiring morning to come into church and hear about a real-life faith story. And if you are here today and you want to start a relationship with Jesus, as Corrie said, and there's no better words, don't wait. Do it quickly. We have these Why Jesus, which tells you exactly what it means to become a Christian, what Jesus did for you, so that you understand. It's good to hear the stories, but I believe that it's really important that you are clear, because this issue is the issue of all of our lives. And this booklet is just so easy to read. It's because I know a lot of people don't like reading these days, but it's small, it's thin, it's got pictures, it's helpful. But in it is news that will change your entire life and eternity. And so if you would like to find out more, please take one of these. And please do come and see us again. Or come and talk to us as pastors here, or people that have brought you, because we are on a journey that we have known. We've come this far, and we can teach you and help you in your relationship with Jesus. And we can also provide a course for those of you who want to know more, to help you to kind of weigh up your lives, to see in the light of what Jesus' teaching is. He's the best. He's the best teacher the world has ever known. But he is God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a miracle worker. But he's the Son of God. And that is available here. And we all want anyone visiting today to not leave without the opportunity to find out a little bit more about your relationship with Jesus. Corrie has said what is needed to be said this morning. I'd just like us to stand and pray and invite the band. We're going to finish with a song of praise. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray together. Jesus, thank you for what we've heard today about what you can do in broken lives, in the lives of people who are left without love, without help, broken by the adults that should have been there to care for them. Thank you, Lord, that your ministry, your servant is out there working amongst others to help and rescue these children. But Lord, we thank you today that what we've heard is really the good news about Jesus, that he is real, that he's relevant, that he is the one who is close to the brokenhearted, and that through receiving him and forgiveness of sins, we can have a relationship with you that will set us free to be the people you have made us to be. And I pray this morning that these stories would have a huge impact on all of our lives, and that we might live knowing how good you are, and that these plans to take care of us, not to abandon us, to give us a hope and a future, will become really part of our life stories. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.